We were just talking about the internet and how insane it is, where movie blogs have taken over in some respect in terms of breaking news and other things.
Yeah.
How much attention do you pay? Do you read movie blogs and things like that?
I do read movie blogs. I think what's really interesting, probably this everyone says this, but what's interesting is that it takes away the power from the newspaper magnates, so be it Murdoch or whatever. I mean, it's like the people taking it back, isn't it? I mean, do people talk about this all the time?
But it is. It's like a democratization of information.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
As opposed to the five big companies.
Yeah, which may have one political bent. I mean, we're talking about film, not politics, but it's kind of a political film, I guess.
Well, speaking of that and people's agendas and the control of information, Agora deals a lot with that, and it deals a lot in religion. And for Amenabar, who talked a lot about the afterlife in films like and spirituality in Abre los Ojos and The Sea Inside, this sort of pivots for him in a way that it talks about the certainty with which people talk about it. What were your initial conversations with him like in terms of the religious aspects of this?
That was a brilliantly set up question.
Thanks.
Very impressed. No, I mean, I hadn't really thought about that in relation to his previous works. So what was the actual question, though?
What did he say about spirituality in terms of what this film is saying when you first were meeting?
I see. Well, I mean, I don't think it really is. It's a really interesting question. I think the movie, when I first read the movie and I closed the script, I thought, this is a movie about today. It's a contemporary film set in the 4th century, and what's interesting is what hasn't changed. I mean, we know what has changed. We go to the moon, antibiotics, blah, blah, blah. But in terms of fundamentalism, in terms of people saying, I'm going to kill you because you don't believe in my God, we don't seem to have progressed an enormous amount at all. You know, in America, Christian fundamentalism versus science, you know, be it teaching Darwinian evolutionary theory or stem cell, you know, the whole thing, and then the issue of women being educated and Middle East thing. I mean, it just seems so contemporary. In terms of spirituality, it's interesting because I actually think Hypatia is very spiritual. I don't think she's religious, but I think her spirituality is just to do with the awe and wonder of the cosmos and trying to come to grips with our place in the universe. And she's thinking not existentially of herself, she's thinking of the planet Earth. Which is, it's a very, I've never really thought of spirituality in relation to the film, but in a way, yeah, he's gone from thinking about spirituality to thinking about religion and those who are so sure of their...
And organized religion in particular.
Yeah, and that those who are so sure that their God is the right God that they believe it's okay to kill another person who doesn't believe in their God. And I guess it's a humanist film, it's not really a spiritual film, and it's, you know, it's saying that we're all one tribe, we're humans, and we're on this little rock floating through the universe, and he has these POVs where you see humans like ants. We're on this rock, and we can choose to treat each other well, or we can choose to kill each other and be uncivilized. I don't know, it's very tragic. It's a very tragic thing to think about.
I wanted to just shoot down to NASA once, and I talked to somebody who worked on the space station, and he said that it confirmed his spirituality, because when you get that high up and you look at all these different magnificent planets, and he said that it confirmed for him that there was a greater plan to it all. And he said, and then you look down and you see places like the Middle East, and you see just how small, like you were saying, and like it does with the transitional shots in the film, that you look down at it and you go, my God, what are we doing to ourselves?
Yeah, we're so small and tiny and yet so amazingly
Well, petty
violent.
As well. I mean, small in several.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I think that's really what the film's about,
Talking about the religion and who people worship, on some level, and this is not to make a facile comparison to this, but do you think in some way that fame and celebrity have replaced false idols on some level? Where literally people look at a screen and it's built so that actors are bigger than life, and people put up a completely false image of themselves, and yet, you know, people buy tons of magazines.
Totally. But you know which model it's very similar to? The pagan model of religion. Because in the pagan model, there were lots and lots of gods and goddesses. They were all incredibly beautiful. And there were statues of them everywhere, which is the equivalent of magazines or whatever today. And they were fallible, which is different from being Jewish or Islam or whatever, where you have the infallible monotheistic God. You know, you can't see or touch and isn't embodied. But they were all fallible, the gods, and they would kind of rise and fall. You know, they all, like Achilles, Icarus, you know, they all had their high points and their low points. So human beings in pagan times would kind of like listen to the stories, and they could kind of identify. They were like bigger than them and more successful than them and more beautiful, but they had these human fallibilities, which is like celebrities now. It's like, oh, she's in rehab. Oh, she's unfaithful. Oh, they're divorced. Oh, she's anorexic. Oh, he's kind of nose job. You know, whatever it might be. Yeah, I think modern magazines, yeah, we live in pagan times. Idolatrous pagan times, yeah.
There's a satire there somewhere that'll be made in a few years.
I hope so, yeah. That'll be good.
Yeah. Now, you've worked with a bunch of different great directors. Amenabar is the latest. Peter Jackson you just worked with. Darren Aronofsky. Did you ever look at directing a film?
Nah.
Oh?
Nah, I like acting too much, and I'm just too busy doing that, and I'm too hungry for it to get behind the camera.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless I could act in it. I don't think I've got the right brain. I'm too disorganized.
Just get a very good first AD.
Ugh, I wish that were enough. You have to have a very particular set of skills, which I'm not sure that I have yet. Maybe in another decade.
Mm-hmm. The Mummy. A lot of Collider readers first discovered you
yeah.
and The Mummy and,
yeah.
and The Mummy Returns. Would you go back to big visual effects
yeah.
movies again?
Yeah, definitely.
Anything potentially on the horizon that you're looking at? You're like, you know what? I would love to do that series. Like all these different comic book adaptations that are happening.
Yeah.
That you go.
You know what? I loved Star Trek. I mean, I couldn't even believe how great. I meant to write him a J.J. Abrams letter. I haven't written it yet, but mm-hmm. I just thought, didn't you think that was tremendous?
Yeah.
I thought it was tremendous.
And it worked on several different levels. It worked not just artistically, but also commercially, and it was accessible
yeah.
to people who weren't necessarily fans.
And I'm not a Trekkie. I mean, Darren took me thinking, he said, you're going to hate this, because I didn't grow up watching Star Trek. I mean, Dr. Spock, I mean, I vaguely know, but I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the acting was just phenomenal. Really, really great. So yeah, no, I'm totally open to doing a big blockbuster. Yeah.
Would you enter in and put your name in the hat for the Star Trek sequel?
Me?
Yes.
I would love to be in the Star Trek. Yeah, I'd love to. I could better write that letter to JJ.
Yeah, start crafting it now. I mean,
yeah, yeah. I would love to. No, I was really wildly impressed by that. I thought it was an incredible piece of work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just had such a freshness in it. The acting blew me away.
Yeah, they're all. So I mean. His writing staff is just so great. Looking just in the next couple of years, you have The Invisible X coming up with Karen Kusama, and I know that's still in financing, but it also sounds fascinating. So you would play somebody who goes through a sex change operation, or?
I think she doesn't really want to say. She's writing the script right now, so I'm waiting for the rewrites. So it's kind of the ball's in her court, but it's something I'm really passionate about. So it's actually sci-fi. It's a man who turns into a woman. But not because of an operation, more a metamorphosis.
That's
yeah.
interesting.
Yeah.
And also the new Jackie O biopic.
Mm-hmm.
How far along is that?
There's a great script. It just got picked up. I'm not sure if it's all official, but it has found a great home in terms of a producerial home. Not a biopic, it's set. It's 4 or 5 days from the assassination to the funeral. And it's a script that Darren read. Noah Oppenheimer wrote it. It's wonderful, and we haven't got a start date or anything like that. It's just being set up at the studio.
I was going to ask you if the release would be timed to the 40th.
No plans like
40-year
that.
Mark, nothing
no.
like that.
No.
Hedy Lamarr. She was also an inventor.
Yeah.
And your father has an inventor background. No.
That's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
she's
how
a
close
movie
to
star
that?
Inventor.
Yeah.
Well, you know, she wasn't a scientist. She just had this thing that she did whilst being one of the most famous movie stars in the world and marrying 3 men, and you know, she was busy. It's a kind of edgy, fun a woman in Hollywood in the 40s who had this other like mm-hmm. thing going on for her.
Yeah. And with Agora and with Hedy Lamarr, and she's not an inventor, but she's worked on this invention.
Yeah.
Is there something that goes back to your childhood, something with your father since he was an inventor?
I mean, a little bit, but it's not my forte, I would say, at all. I think it's just coincidence. I mean, I'd be happy to play people who have received no... You know, I mean, favorite role I played in a long time was Blanche DuBois, and she's an alcoholic sex addict who's, very poetic but quite a big mess. So I don't know. I'm not really just interested in playing people who know about science. I don't know anything about science. I know fuck all about science, to be honest with you. I just... I don't know. It just seemed like an interesting challenge. But yes, my dad is an inventor.
Would you go back to Broadway?
I would love to, yeah. I'm actually talking to people right now about... I'd really love to.
Oh, but you can't say...
No, well, there's nothing definite.
Oh, yeah.
I'm literally just meeting people to talk and reading. And yeah, I would love to. Love to,
yeah.
love to, love to.
Well, we can end with a fun one. Emma Thompson and Kate Winslet recently said that they keep their Oscar on the back of their toilet. Where do you keep yours?
Well, it's actually in the bathroom, but that's my favorite room in the house. So it's a beautiful room. I love to take baths.
Thank
my son
so.
Calls it my medal.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.